All right, let's go ahead and start off, and we'll open up in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for everybody that's here today, and also those who are traveling and doing other things. Just give them traveling mercies, bless their encounters wherever they go, and keep them safe in Jesus' name. Thank you for this day. Now, in this world, we see a lot of different separations and dividing and all that stuff. That is the enemy's role, is to divide us. And God brings us together with hope and joy and so forth. All right, so let's go to Philippians 2, and we'll start in verse 5. Adopt the same attitude of that of Jesus Christ, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross.
Amen. Just join us in worship this morning. Our God is mighty to save. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Let my light to flow. The kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now
to save. and kingdoms will bow down. And every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Their King is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb, the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood makes us clean, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Stop the Lord. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the
looking for that day when You come victorious. God, we pray today for the peace of Israel, for the salvation of souls around the world that will usher in Your great coming back, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. How deep the Father's love.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He would give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing love. bring many sons to glory.
How beautiful that we have people that are willing to stand up before us and bring us into worship to serve and celebrate and worship our God. You know, life is not always easy. In fact, Fred gets in the way of God often. And I do praise God for my brothers and sisters that are willing to tell me that. It really does help me quite a bit. But one of the things that I wanted to share was something Oswald shared with me yesterday. I think he knows it now that he's with God, so he probably knows I was reading it. There was nothing of the nature of impulse or thoughtless actions about our Lord, but only a calm strength that never got into a panic. Most of us develop our Christianity along the lines of our own nature, not along the lines of God's nature. So, impulsiveness is, I was just thinking about that yesterday, even though I read it yesterday morning. I was cleaning out my garage yesterday, and I found myself becoming a little impulsive, a little frustrated. So it's funny how we can read these words, we read God's words, and we're often reminded that we are human. And does God get upset about those things? I don't think so. He knows we struggle with what we have in our life, and he just loves us through this. But he continues to be the example for us, and he continues to draw us in. With that, I know the Bible is a phenomenal foundation. In fact, it's our hope for knowing God and everything that he is, and what he thinks about us, and how much he loves us. All right. We're getting ready to hear Brother Ron's going to share a wonderful message with us. We were just talking earlier, but there's nothing like real life, you know, as I was confessing earlier. And we're, as Ron always puts it, we're students with God. And it seems like our learning never stops, and it's always moving forward. And we're thankful for that, so... With that, Brother Ron, you want to come up and share your word?
Good morning, everybody. So I want you to know that the process of doing pulpit work is it's not easy. There's actually a refining process that takes place. Right, Vic? Right, Fred? So it's not easy. It's a process. So I started working on this a few weeks ago, and I just really feel like the Lord's brought me to a place that I can share something that hopefully will touch your hearts and just make room for the Lord to change whatever's going on in your heart and bring you to a place where you're at peace. Anyway, I just want to open in prayer real quick, and then I'll share. But Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and hear your word. We thank you for the opportunity, Father, to be able to open our hearts up. We pray that you would come in and till those areas that have become hard. Father, that the roots will grow deep in the nourishment that you have for us today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So first I got a scripture. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones." God has made us in such a way that joy and humor are meant to be a vital part of our lives. You agree with that? So I want to share something with you. And if you can't figure out if you can't figure out the meaning of what I'm going to say, see me after church and I'll explain it to you. So, Deb and I, we have to laugh at ourselves. We've been married. We're on 49 years in November. Yes. And
it is.
12 years. The first 12 years of our marriage was, I was very destructive in it. Done everything I could tear it apart. But Deb got hooked up with a women's prayer and share in Eureka, and God started changing her heart, and she had people praying for me, and was making me miserable. But anyway, when I came to the Lord, when Deb and I decided to serve the Lord together, it changed everything. It changed our whole outlook. It changed our marriage. I'm just so thankful that you stayed steadfast and didn't give up, because that was over 30 years ago that I gave my heart to the Lord, and I'm just so thankful. But anyway, I wanted to share, there's funny things that happen, funny things that we do that make each other laugh. And so anyway, between haircuts, I have Deb get the clippers out and cut the fuzz off of my neck. And so anyway, she gets done, and I says, "Well, how's it look?" And she goes, "Well, let me go get my glasses." So that's one of the funny things that happened recently. So we laughed about that. So anyway, the title of the message that I have today is "There is a Place Called Home." And prior to mine and Deb's retirement, we were having discussions regarding what we'd like to do after we retire. We retired 4 years ago. She's given me this. 4 years ago, and probably the first year was the hardest. But anyway, before I get started, I wanted to thank Brian for taking the time out. For 10 of us that actually went to the mission, and just to be in the place where God has given you a gift to love on people that society would decide to discard is just amazing to see that. And I want to thank you, Brian, for the work that you do there. So anyway, we decided that let's give RVing a shot. How many RVers we got in here? Oh my goodness, they're everywhere. I recognize a lot of them. So I think it was Deb found in the Tri-City that these people were selling this little 1992 Ranger trailer, no slide outs. It was just, back then I don't even know if they had them. So we went to look at it and wound up buying it, and these people had actually bought it brand new at Jay's RVs. And they had traveled a lot in it to Arizona and back and forth every year and spent a lot of time down there. But anyway, because of their health, they couldn't travel anymore. So they had to put the trailer up for sale. So we let them know before we were driving away that we'd take good care of it. And they had. I mean, the thing looked brand new. But anyway, they couldn't travel anymore because of health problems. And our first trip was down to Bimbo. That was our maiden voyage, we called it. And we spent, I think, a couple nights down there. That was a big deal. Since then, we're on our fourth trailer. We went from a 20-footer now to a 30-footer with two slide-outs and very comfortable. God has really blessed us and allowed us to be able to do what we dream about doing and just being able to travel. Deb and I do a lot of traveling with our RV. Roads take us to many different places. Sometimes it's to see different sites in different places around the country. Sometimes it's what we call missions trips to Idaho. I have a sister that lives there that lost her husband a little over a year ago. So we go back and help her with her place and help her get ready for winter. There's always an opportunity to minister to other people when we RV. It's always a pleasure to talk to other people in different parts of the country and share our stories with each other. Sometimes we travel alone, and sometimes there are a few, and there's other times there's actually many that travel with us from place to place. There are times that we gather outside and have Sunday church together, and that's always a blessing to be able to do that. Any of you that have been part of that, you know what I'm talking about. On long trips, some days we travel a lot of miles to get from one place to the other. Depending on the trip, it could be several days before we get to our destination. We have learned as seasoned travelers, it is always a must to stop and take at least a couple days to rest before we get to our desired destination. There are a lot of planning that goes into each trip. Thank you, dear. I'm the driver. She does all the planning, and there is a lot of work involved in that to be able to get RV places to stay on our trip at different places. And if you don't get it done early enough, you may not get a place because there's a lot of people out there traveling. So there's a lot of planning that goes into each trip, calling RV parks for reservations, vehicle preparation, a long list of personal items that need to be loaded, house preparation for being gone. We always make a to-do list weeks and sometimes months before each trip. As we get each item done, we mark it off our list. Regardless of all the work that goes into putting our list together ahead of time, traveling is always a challenge. Things happen unexpectedly. And the first thing I put on there was icy roads. Anybody know anything about my icy roads? So flat tires, trailer slide out issues. Right, Fred? I've had those too, and it's not always a lot of fun. But it's just part of the RVing experience. window shade problems, water leaks, broken leaf springs, fresh water tanks getting low. Black and gray tanks need empty. Laundry needs done. The list goes on and on. No matter how careful we make a list and check it off, there are always new surprises. Sometimes plans have to be adjusted because of unexpected challenges. There's a lot of work that goes into each trip from start to finish. The benefits are always rewarding, though. Heading home takes refocusing and planning as well. After miles and miles of travel, we finally make it home. It is such a relief to see our home and to know we made it safely back to our resting place. So you see, with that being said, life can and does have its own challenges. Anybody agree? No matter how much we plan, no matter how well we check our list off, there is always the potential for our planning to be interrupted by life itself. Health issues, family issues, marriage issues, kid issues, finance issues, church issues. The list goes on and on. I've learned that life has a lot of surprises around every corner. Even though I know that, it still isn't always easy. It's, you know, with the challenges that come with it. Before I was a Christian, I strived to find my worth in this world. Being raised in a dysfunctional family atmosphere brought on its own challenges. Because of those challenges, I spent a portion of my life striving to find my worth in the world. Working harder at my job seemed like a solution. Job titles seemed like a solution. A nice house seemed like a solution. Nice vehicles seemed like a solution. The list goes on and on. Through all the striving, I couldn't find a place that I could find rest that I needed for my soul. I was so lost in the world. In a world that has absolutely no solution to fill that emptiness. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, "You have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." God has planted eternity in every man's heart. This means that we can never be completely satisfied with earthly pleasures and pursuits, because we are created in God's image. We have a spiritual thirst. We have eternal value. Nothing but the eternal God can satisfy us. I'm so thankful that when I was in my early 30s, God began to deal with my heart. I can remember that at different times, he actually put a crossroad in front of me. And at that point, I had to make a decision whether to keep going where I was going or to turn, make a decision not to keep going, but to make a decision to go in the direction that God wanted me to go. I can look back to a time when he began to gradually steer me away from worldly striving to a place of peace. Actually, he's still doing that. He's still calling me to get closer to him and to come out of the world and out of the things that that we strive for in the world that can't give us that peace that only God can give us. It's a place that it's a peace that the world cannot give us. It's a place of peace that the world cannot understand. It's a place of peace that only God can give through a relationship with his son Jesus. Romans 10:9 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." People think it must be a complicated process, but it's not. It's really not. Confessing and believing Jesus as my Lord and Savior was the beginning of my new life in Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That good news? This world is filled with strife and heartache. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble." Doesn't say you might have trouble, it says you will. But take heart, I have overcome the world. As Christians, we should expect continuing tension with an unbelieving world that is out of sync with Christ, his good news, and his people. At the same time, we can expect our relationship with Christ to produce peace and comfort because we are in sync with him. So sometimes we forget the basics of where we came from. And so sometimes we have to be reminded of the good news. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Sometimes we forget about that. That's where it all starts. We basically live our whole lives looking for meaning, looking for a destination or definition of who we are, why we exist. And what the gospel does, it redefines us as people and gives us a place to find meaning and find significance. The good news itself is that God has reconciled us to himself through his Son Jesus. And so what we find there is it's not just the beginning of the Christian life. It's not just to come down front and make a decision about somebody or something. It really is the good news that you have been made a new person, that God has invited you to be part of his family. We are all made one in Jesus. Jesus is our peace. He has broken down all the barriers that divide us. Galatians 3:27 and 28 says, "So now, although we are many different people, we are one body in Christ and members of one another. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so though many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Scripture is always the standard for living the Christian life. Even so, we still have conflicts with people. This is why the New Testament talks so much about conflict and the need for peace. Live in peace with one another. Mark 9:50 says, "Salt is food for seasoning, but it loses its flavor. If it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other." Live in harmony with one another. Romans 12:16 says, "Live in harmony with each other. Don't try to act important, but enjoy the company of ordinary people, and don't think you know it all. And pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding." Romans 14:19 says, "So then let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up." Sounds like there's work involved, right? You see, peace is something we must work toward. It is something we must work hard towards. Notice that these verses is the call to peace, not just trying to cover our conflict so that no one thinks we have conflict. Peace means being honest about it and working through our conflicts in love so that we all have good relationships with each other. In harmony. It is important to work hard at this so that we can work together as one body and so that we can get along as one family. I remember a question that constantly was on my mind before I was a Christian, and it's actually something I still ask myself the question from time to time. The question is, are you part of the solution or part of the problem? I think that's something that we need to ask ourselves, you know, to see where we're at. I think it's critical for us Christians to take that question to heart constantly. Here's a checklist we can use to take inventory and use as a reference to remind us of what true Christian love is. I put checklists, but I like the word inventory better because I don't want to live by a checklist. So I think there's times that we need to stop and take inventory. And I think that this helped me. Hopefully it'll help you. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 7 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. You see, this kind of love goes against our natural tendencies. It is impossible to have this love unless God helps us set aside our own natural desires so that we can love and not expect anything in return. The more we become like Christ, the more love we will show to others. That's all I have. Let me pray in closing. Father, I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our spiritual eyes, that you would open our spiritual ears, that you would open our heart. Father, in those areas that have become hard, Father, that you would come in and soften, that you would allow your word, that you would allow your peace, Father, to penetrate our hearts. And we just pray, Lord, that you would have all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.